Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Greater Than Podcast. My name is Elijah Merle. Listen, today you're in for a treat. My good friend, oh, I love this man so much, J.D. Romick, is sharing. We're going to post a message he shared at Spirit Wind Conference today. You are going to love this message, and you're going to love hearing from J.D. Romick, man. I tell you, without any further ado, I just want to get into it. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this message from Spirit Wind Conference by J.D. Romick, entitled All In.
Thank you. Well, first of all, I don't know how to start because I really love this place. Bucket Baptist has just been a special place for us as a couple. Pastor William, we're always honored to be here. It was 2 years ago, I think, because when we met, we were at a Shake Shack, and you always know God stuff happens at a Shake Shack. Right? Amen. All right. That's my message. So, no, I'm just kidding. We were just having a great time eating, as you do at Shake Shack. And then we just started talking. And Elijah was one of those where when you start listening to him, you just know there's a call. You just know there's like a depth to what he speaks. And so it's an honor. It's an honor to be here. I remember that we were talking yesterday. I remember the call for this conference was like over a year ago now. And all throughout COVID stuff, in my mind, it would every now and then would come into my mind. I was like, what about that conference? Like, is it still going to happen? And so to be here, it truly is exciting. It is a testimony to be here. And so I just wanted to honor you guys, and I'm honored to be in front of such great speakers and such great ministers. So I'm a little nervous, to be honest, but we'll do good, right? It'll be fun. So I asked the Holy Spirit what he wanted me to talk on, because I've asked Elijah, obviously, what the whole idea was about, talking about the Holy Spirit and everything, and he gave me like this phrase that I remember quite well because it was personal to me. It was all in. And so I've spoken about this before in other places. But the all in starts, to be fair, it starts back in 2016. My dad is from Cleveland, Ohio, and my mom is from Guatemala. And I was born in Colombia. So we're literally an all-American family. Like all the Americas are represented in our family. Like, yeah, we are the true Americans. I'm just kidding. And so, but because my dad is from Cleveland, we're Cavs fans, Indians fans, and Browns fans. So now Browns fans is not that bad right now. But anyway, back in 2016, there was this guy named LeBron, and he was there, and he took us to the finals, and we actually won. The slogan of the year, I don't know, you seem like you something of Cleveland, so I like you now. You're from Ohio. See, I always knew there was something great about you. So it's like, so the slogan for the team was all in 216. And I remember we were down 3-1 to the Warriors. And they were interviewing Tyronn Lue, and they told Tyronn Lue, like, do you really think no one has ever been back from a 3-1 deficit? Like, why do you think you would be the first team to ever do it? And I like what he said. Tyronn Lue said, listen, if you guys don't think we can win, don't get on the plane. And then he goes back to his team and he gives this speech about like being all in. Like, that's the, like, we're just going to give it all we got. Well, now, you know, 5 years later, we know they won and everything. But that always rang just like a bell, if you will, in me about how it is to live in the things of God and how it is to be led in the Spirit. You're either going to be all in or don't get on the plane, right? Like, it's either going to be an all in. You're going to give it all you got, like, until there is nothing left. And even at that point, you're still going. Or literally, I'm not saying like, so get off the plane, but it was just that mindset, right? It's the mentality of being all in. And as I was meditating, there's a story, one of my favorite stories found in Acts chapter 4. The reason why I like this story is just because you see these disciples who literally don't have the education, don't have the wealth, don't have the trajectory to be doing what they're doing. And at this point, they have become these giants in the faith. They have become these people that are shaking cities and shaking nations. And there's really only a couple of things that I've noticed that caused this change. And the biggest was the Holy Spirit, which was why Jesus told them, hey, guys, wait, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It's like, wait. And when the Holy Spirit comes, you will be, I like that word in English, endued with power. Like, you will have power when you receive. And then you will be able to do everything I want you guys to do once you have the Holy Spirit. We were talking with Carolina. Carolina, I always like preaching with Carolina because she always keeps me in check with like spiritual and word stuff, right? She's like, it's like always doctrine, checking doctrine. I like it. But this morning we were talking about it. And just as we were talking about it, I was like, I feel so, it's just so cool how Peter, before Acts chapter 4, before Acts chapter 2, when they're filled with the Spirit, you see Peter, he's at this fire, and he gets scared because of a girl who's pointing him out. And we know this story where he finally, how do you say negar again? He denies Jesus, right? And so, and it's because of this girl. So obviously, I don't know how this girl looked like, you know, how scary this girl could have been. But the overall point is that this girl literally made him deny Christ and get him off the track of what was the purpose for his life. A true disciple of Jesus. And then a couple of chapters later, after Acts chapter 2, where he is filled with the Spirit, you see the same man again in front of 5,000 people who legally could throw stones at him, who legally could like destroy his life, destroy his ministry. And the only difference in his life is he is now filled with the Spirit. And since he is filled with the Spirit, this man who is known to fish, right? Who was known that was his job, is now standing in front of a multitude of people, starting what we know as the church, right? The dispensation of the church now expressed through a fisherman because he is filled with the Spirit. And then you see his life, and his ending is probably not the most poetic ending. If history shows us and tells us that Peter actually ends up crucified because of his faith. But what I like to highlight about Peter and about this story we're about to read in Acts chapter 4 is that their mentality was all in. There has to be something about an encounter with the Holy Spirit that is so true and that is so real that will take you all the way even unto death, because you're all in. And so in the words of Taran Liu back in 2016, if you're going to be in this, we're going to be in this to win. And we're going to be all in. If not, don't get on the plane, right? This is a life with Christ has to be all in. And the reason why this inspires me is not recently, but a few years ago, we made a decision to start supporting missionaries and to start itinerating and to start what we know as I Am Help. And through this, one thing that we learned last year, for example, is that it's really hard to do missions when the world is quarantined, right? It's like, it's one of those things where like they don't really mix. And so we were praying, how do we do this? How are we going to fulfill what you called us to do? And one of the things that I had in a conversation with my dad told me, John, everyone is quarantined but God. No one's put quarantine on God and on the Holy Spirit. He still lives inside of you. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave in Romans 8, chapter, verse 11, is still in you. And so that's a spark something in us to start praying. One of the projects that we had was feed families in Bogota. It was the second longest quarantine in the world at that time. It was people that were putting out red flags of their houses, letting people know that they had run out of food. And so we had it in our heart to start raising funds, to start supporting different families, as many families as we could. living in Dallas, Texas. I was working at Amazon FTW6 for the time being because there was no way to itinerate. There was no way to do it. So we just did what we did. And through that, after that conversation, I was just reminded, hey, the Holy Spirit is still here. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is still present today. And so we were praying, and then one day, I just had it in my heart. I was like, there's something big coming. There's a check that's coming, and it's going to help us feed it. At that moment, we had fed 250 families, and we were excited because that was just a blessing to be able to feed 250 families from quarantine, the whole thing. And then we just started talking with Carolina every day. We would talk. It's like, is it in yet? No, it's not in. It's like, oh, okay. Is it in yet? No, it's a. And in my mind, it's like, it's probably the same angel that brought the stuff to Daniel, right? The one that was like, so it's like took 21 days to get. It's like one of those slow angels. I was like, could you please send Michael next time, right? Because like Michael's like, he'll get it, but you sent the Daniel angel. And it's like, all right. And you know, sometimes we get the Daniel angel, apparently, because it's not automatic, but it'll still happen, right? It seems like you guys have encountered the Daniel angel as well, right? It's just it's one of those. So hopefully one day we get to see him face to face and thank him for the process of patience in our life. So we were there just talking. It took about a month. And then the testimony is the check never came, but a phone call came in. And a phone call of a friend that works with a multinational company. And she tells us, it's like, hey, as a company, we are looking to support a nonprofit, and we have certain amount. And they told us in pesos. It was 120 millones de pesos, 120 million pesos. And so that sounds like a lot, but when you do the whole thing, it was $30,000. And we were like, I looked at Carolina. I was like, this is the check. Like, this is it. I was like, she's like, well, talk. I'm like, yes, we will accept. Like, we will accept it. From 250 families to 5,550 families being fed in 1 month through quarantine, because the Holy Spirit was never quarantined. And that's one thing that can just change from an Amazon worker to someone that is able to feed 5,000 families, from a fisherman to the one that starts the church. The only difference is the Holy Spirit. And so I want to inspire each and every one of us today to acknowledge that there's actually, I've been telling, so as you notice, I talk a lot with Carolina. We've traveled thousands of miles in the car. We talk all the time. And as we were talking once, I just told her, I have like a message in my heart that I want to title In Spite of Me, of how God has been so good in spite of my prayer life, in spite of my giving life, in spite of, and it's not that I haven't been praying, it's not that I haven't been giving, but he's not limiting his goodness to my prayer life. He's not limiting his goodness. And it's all about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, if you read in John chapter 16, Jesus is talking about what the Holy Spirit is going to do. And to summarize one of these important, I don't mean to just limit the conclusion, but at least try to summarize it. The Holy Spirit's job is to glorify Jesus through us in everything he does, right? And so what I want us to realize is that as we let the Holy Spirit do his work in us, and as we yield to the Holy Spirit, God will be glorified through our lives. And people will start noticing the miraculous. Not only the miraculous things that are happening around us, but that the miraculous one lives inside of each and every one of us. So Acts chapter 4, the first four verses, you see, and we're going to like try to go through the whole chapter. But the first four verses says, Peter and John, you know, they were put in jail because they were preaching. They were actually doing what they were supposed to be doing. One thing I've noticed in my life is that sometimes bad things happen even when I'm doing the right thing. And we tend to, like, we tend to reduce these things to, if something bad is happening, it's because I did something wrong. And we tend to forget that we're actually in a battlefield, where there's actually an enemy that is actually attacking you. There's a whole point in Ephesians chapter 6 why God is giving us an armor. It's not to look cute. It's because you need the armor in order to carry out the purpose. And so some this like lackadaisical way of living sometimes where I'm just going to be a Christian and just going to live the good life, that's part of it. And yes, God is way better than you'll ever imagine. He can do far more than you could ever pray for, give for, and he's just that good. But don't forget that we are here on a mission. Don't forget that our true prize is heaven. Don't forget that our true goal is being there. That's why he says to put our eyes on that prize. In Spanish, it's puesto los ojos en las cosas de arriba. It means put your eyes and your affections on the things above. Right? And so instead of just thinking that if I live my good life here, then I will, that's it. That is my goal. No, our goal is heaven. Our goal is eternity. The questions we should be asking is, where do you see yourself in 5,000 years, right? Where do you see yourself in 10,000? Because you will be alive then, and you will be with him then. And hopefully that is what tickles your spiritual funny bone, right? Hopefully that is what pricks you to be like, yeah, I'm here on a mission. This is not about what I can get. This is about who I can rescue. I asked my dad, this is a long time ago, we were talking, and my dad would see my frustration because of earthly things. You know, you want the car, you want the shoes, you want to be able to do certain things. It's normal in each and every one of us, but he saw me struggling. So he told me, John David, you know, I have a solution. And so for those of you that might not know my dad, he started a bunch of Bible schools in Colombia and in Cuba and in Venezuela and other places. So he's got a good thing going with the Bible schools. And so he knows a lot about the Bible. So when he tells me he's got the solution, I'm like, he probably knows that verse in Habakkuk, right? It's probably the Hosea's verse that you really don't read. And so it's like, that's the one. And so he's like, I got a solution for you. If all you want is, you know, happiness, peace, if you don't want any attack, if you just want, you know, blessing, prosperity, and no problems whatsoever in your life, I'm like, give me the verse. And so he's like, I would recommend for you to go to heaven. This is my dad talking. So I was like, what do you mean go to heaven? And it's like, well, because once you get to heaven, you know, there's no devil that's going to attack you. There's no, you know, stress that can get to you. It's perfect. And I was like, well, this is really uncomfortable right now. Like, it's like, what do you mean? And he's like, John David, you know, we're here on this earth to witness the only miracle that you can never witness in heaven is see someone get saved. Because once you're in heaven, that's like the miracle's been done, but you don't see it there. You only see that miracle here. And there's a purpose for us to be here. And there's a reason why he leaves us the Holy Spirit to follow through so that God can be glorified in us and so that people can see that and want to know him and turn their ways and go to him. So Peter is preaching, and because he's doing the right thing, he's in trouble for doing what's right. And so then Peter speaks in front of this council, and he starts proclaiming that the healing that is the problem right now, because they healed someone, he says that healing was done by Jesus, in whom there is salvation. And then it says something really important that you could probably highlight. That it's a good exercise that I've been doing, is trying to notice where in the Bible it says they were filled with the Spirit and he was filled with the Spirit. And after something happens, it always says that he was filled with the Spirit. And if not, then it says that they prayed and then that they were filled with the Spirit again. It seems to me that the church in Acts, the primitive church of which we like want to go back to sometimes and we want to see the miraculous, there seems to be a pattern that is constant. And it's that they were continually being filled with the Spirit. It wasn't just one time in Acts chapter 2. It was in Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5. And that it was continual filling of the Holy Spirit. And it's more than the experience that we think is of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not just what happens around us and outside of us, and you feel the quake and you feel the shake, and that's cool. But it's what's happening inside of you each time you're being filled with the Spirit. And verse 13, it says, and the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. So even this to me is ridiculous. Like, there's healings coming through their lives, and they don't even know the scriptures like they should know. But it's because they've been filled with the Spirit. And even Jesus said, you know, at that time, you might not even know what to say, but the Holy Spirit will help you say what you have to say. I feel that as Christians, we sometimes forget the importance of being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Because even Jesus said, hey, it's to your benefit that I leave. Because then I will send you the Comforter. And I will send you, and he will lead you into all truth. And we all know what truth does. The Bible says that as we know the truth will set us free. So he's sending an agent of freedom into our lives. That if we can only be filled, continually filled with the Holy Spirit as we go, as we come, as we confront problems, and as we surpass the problems, to find the pattern that they found of continual filling, I think we will see the continual results that they saw as well. Verse 14 says, but since they could see the man who had been healed standing right there among them, there was nothing the council could say. So they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber and conferred amongst themselves. I see two things that were undeniable in their life right here and right now. The first thing that they couldn't deny is that they had been with Jesus. You know, people can notice if you've been with Jesus or not. You know, it's not how good you can preach, how good you can know the scriptures. There's an actual thing that happens when you are in his presence. And people can tell. I hated when my dad could tell, right? Because like when I was a kid and growing up, and you know, kind of like you're more fleshy some days than others. And my dad would say, it's like, you haven't prayed today. And it would just irritate me because he was right. Right? It was like, yeah, like stop it with the spirituality, right? Like I'm just mad right now. And so, but one thing it's we just read, the one thing that they could notice is that they had been with Jesus. So they had been with the miracle worker. And then the second thing that they could realize is that they had witnessed a miracle. It says that they couldn't. It says they could, since they could see the man who had been healed standing right there among them, there was nothing the council could say. So there's a whole lot that people can say logically against you. There's a whole lot that people can say circumstantially against you. But when you are living a miracle and you have the miraculous living inside of you and you are spending time with the miracle worker, there is nothing that can be said against what you are living at that moment right there, right now. It's undeniable. I remember we had a youth conference. We would call it Extreme Fire. Couple of years ago, and at Extreme Fire in Colombia recently, the war, they signed the peace treaty, and so it's hard to explain, but there was kind of like four armies at the same time fighting for power. So you had the guerrillas, and then you had the paramilitaries, and then you had the other guerrillas, and then you had the army, right? And so they were all fighting, and so the army actually had a squadron that they would call it the Squadron of Healing. And what that was is all the soldiers that had their legs blown out or had been shot or so, they to be part of that army, they would still be called and be part of that squadron, the Squadron of Healing. They were all young, like 18 years of age, most of those kids. And so this army guy calls me and is like, hey, can we take part of the Squadron of Healing to the conference? I was like, sure. I mean, it's cool. They're young. So they came, and I think like 30 of them came. And it's heartbreaking when you see them, and you know they've got crutches, and they don't have a leg, or stuff like that. They don't have an eyes. They've been shot. It's just it's intense. So that night we were talking about the Holy Spirit. We're just talking about the how miraculous the Holy Spirit is, and how the Holy Spirit is a creator. Like he was participating in Genesis chapter 1. Whenever God would speak, who would move? The Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit would move, stuff started to be created. Whatever he spoke, the Holy Spirit did. So it was like, we were there, we were intense, and we're like, when we're going to pray, we're going to be filled with the Spirit. And so like a bunch of kids come up, we're being filled with the Spirit. So I feel led as like, hey, you know, and let's pray for healing today. I mean, if the miracle worker is here, let's expect miracles from the miracle worker. Let's just do it all in. And so what I forgot, though, is that there's people that actually don't have eyes, right? And that there's people that, you know, like have metal rods in their legs or don't have legs. And so, hopefully you understand, but like when I'm like thinking about miracles, I'm thinking like we're going to cast that headache away, right? Like any headache, it doesn't have a chance. And so we're praying, you know, for headaches and stuff like that. But then I see two of these guys come up. And one of them, he's blind. He's got, like, the glasses for it and everything. And another guy, he comes with crutches, but he can't bend his leg. And he's just, like, stiff leg. So I'm, like, trying to pray faster before they get there to be, like, oh, he's gone. You know, sorry. True story. And so we're praying. And we have some of our leaders praying. And so I tell one of our leaders, is like, hey, go pray that from here to there. You know how you do sometimes like section it off? And so I'm like, I'll take these from here and you take those from there. And so they're praying. And then we hear a commotion. We start hearing people start shouting like a roar. So I turn around and this leader comes back with the glasses. And he's like, funcionó. He's saying, it worked. And so I was like, what happened? So, like, I'm obviously excited now. Like, I never doubted. And so I'm like running to it. And so I see it. This kid, he's crying because his eye was recreated. His head had been shot out. So he's crying because he's like, he can see. And then the guy beside him can't believe that his semi-blind friend can now see through both eyes. And so he goes, and no one's even prayed for him, but he saw that we were with the miracle worker. He saw the miraculous, and he himself grabbed his crutches, threw him down, and started walking. And at that moment, we were, like, the roar was everywhere now. Everyone was just shouting, praising, because when the Holy Spirit moves, what we read in John chapter 16, he will glorify God. And that is what we want, that through his working through us, he might be glorified. That people can realize that it is worth living all in for him. I asked him later, I was like, well, I found out they weren't Christian at that moment. They were healed, they weren't Christian. That would like rock my world. And the reason why was because they started cussing right there, like in the holy place. And they were like, oh my gosh, and like cussing of excitement. And so I was like, what? Like grab the microphone, right? It's like rookie mistake. And so I started asking them. And so one of them, he said, like, hey, my eye was shot out, like shrapnel, something happened. And so, like, no eye. And now he's got an eye. So we're praising. And this other guy, I was like, what's with you? He's like, well, actually, I had been shot. I forget the exact number now, but it was a bunch of times. So I put a metal rod in him. And he's bending it now. So I'm like, how does it, like, what metal is that, right? Like my mind is like, what is happening? And so we started praising, and then obviously it's like, hey guys, so this is what Jesus can do. Would you like to receive him? Right? And that to me has been the easiest salvation message of my life. And I'm not saying, you know, now this is my doctrine, like show first and then ask later, right? Like it all depends. But I've been noticing that as we let the Holy Spirit move and as we yield to him, the miraculous, the supernatural becomes natural in our lives. Where you're amazed, but you're not surprised because you know who lives inside of you. Right? Like, so it's amazing. And we give him all the glory for everything that's done, for the checks that have come in, for the miracles that have happened. But we're not surprised because that's what's supposed to happen when he moves. Like it's from the beginning when the Holy Spirit starts to moving, things start being created from nothing. And so that's just part of what happens. So verse 21 and verse 22, it says, the council then threatened them further. So they really couldn't say anything except it's like, okay, so just stop. Stop doing what you're doing. So the council then threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God. In verse 21, for everyone was praising God. I believe that as we let the Holy Spirit move in us and as we yield to Him, that's the goal. Is that people praise Him. That people start realizing this is not a ministry. This is not a pulpit. This is not a platform. No, this is all about Him. And as the Holy Spirit starts to move in our lives and in our families and in our churches, that starts to happen. The miracle starts to happen. But truly, people start praising God. Verse 22, for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. God has moved and will always move because of faith. Right? And the Bible, and I'm not going to get into that side. I want to keep reading. But verse 23 to 28, it says that they go back to their own company and they started to pray. And they knew they needed, you know, a move of God. But what's interesting to me is what they prayed for. So sometimes when we face adversity, at least I'm talking about me personally, when we face adversity, my first reaction is to pray the adversity out of my life instead of praying for Him to move into the adversity and move into that place of struggle in my life. And so we read in verse 29, it says, and now, O Lord, hear their hearts and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. That like, if we could just pause for a few seconds just to like let that sink in, because instead of praying out a problem, all they wanted is to pray in more boldness to keep speaking. Like they weren't trying to, you know, take the problem out, the attack out. They were like, hey, let the attacks happen, let the people not want it, whatever, but God, give us more boldness to preach your word, because this is what we're called to do. This is why you have purposed in our hearts to go out. This is why you have commissioned us, right? This is why you gave us the Holy Spirit, so that they can glorify you. So instead of removing the promise, Father, may your presence remain. May it remain in us constantly, consistently, as we go out, as we come in, as we go into the battlefield. May your presence be with us all day. And then it says, and then stretch out your hand. This is the second part of what they're praying. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And then verse 31 says that the place shook. It's God moving. You know, God moving, the place starts shaking, and you can read into it as deep as you want, but I just want God to move in my life consistently and constantly. And I love, because the problem is not addressed at all after this. You know, it never says, and then the people from the city came back and asked for forgiveness, right? It never says that, right? It's like, and then all the jails closed, and then Peter never saw a jail again. None of that happened. What happened was he got more bold. He got more bold, even unto death, he got more bold. I was reading, I like to read about like Lee Strobel and all these guys, the Case for Christ and everything. And I ended up like in this rabbit trail reading about how these different disciples died. And I think it's a great story. There's actually a painting, from Michelangelo, the Sistine Chapel. In the Sistine Chapel, he paints the death of most of the disciples. And so you could actually find it in the Sistine Chapel, you know, someone being boiled to death and someone being crucified. And it was just interesting. But anyway, what I like about this is that, you see their life and their trajectory, right? You see them when Judas comes to get Jesus, right? All these disciples run away, scared. They're like, they're running away from their creator. They're running away from the miracle worker. They're just scared. But once they're endued with power, right? Once they have the Holy Spirit in them, you see them painted on the Sistine Chapel as not afraid, as bold as ever. Like there's one that the executioner receives Christ because of the executed one. Like that is bold unto death. And what that gives you is it gives you perspective of what truly is important. Like to these guys, what truly was important is not how I live here only, but how I end up there. Like putting the first things first, you know, what is more important in your life? So as I'm reading through these disciples and stuff, I remember a story that my dad told me a long time ago. And I talk about my parents and my wife, one, because those are the people that I know the most. And two, I always want to honor them. And I honor my parents and everything they did and do as missionaries. And he told me once the story of William Borden. And I don't know, and I'll conclude with this story. But William Borden, he's a famous missionary, but he's probably more famous now because of the Borden cheese, right? Like all his family. But anyway, so he comes from this like wealthy family, and they send him on like this trip when he's like 16, all around the world, just as wealthy families do, right? Just like the trip. And when he's traveling, he feels the call to be a missionary. So he writes in his Bible, and he writes down no reserves. Like, I want to be a missionary without reserves. But he has to study. And so he goes to study, and I think it's Princeton where he ends up studying. He starts a Christian movement in these Ivy League universities, and like thousands of people are getting saved in all these universities. He went to Yale. He went to Yale, and he started a group. And then when he graduates, he's offered this incredible job, high-paying, high-end job, and he turns it down because he knows what's important, and he knows the call. He realizes the call, so he's like, no. He turns it down, and then he writes down in his Bible, he writes down no return. And then he goes, and he aims. It's really cool because he wants to minister to this like Chinese section, but that they're Muslims, and so he has to learn the super specific language. And as he's going there, he gets meningitis and he dies at age 25. So like, when my dad tells me that story, I'm like, well, that's not a good story. Like, it's terrible. You know, like, you don't expect that. You expected that, like, from Yale and ministering to thousands, and now he's got a mega church in China, right? Or something like that. I don't know. Like, you know, normal things. And so I was like, well, that's a terrible story. And that, no. What's cool is that in his Bible, during that time, he writes down no regrets. And it's the three words that he would live by: no reserves, no return, no regrets. The way the Holy Spirit gave it to me was all in. Just maybe because I can remember that easier. But the point behind it being, from what we've read in Acts chapter 4, and from what we've talked about different testimonies, if I can conclude with one thing, is that, one, it's worth being filled with the Holy Spirit, and hopefully we follow the pattern of being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Being born in a Rhema family and listening to Brother Hagin when I was little, you know, in the cassette tapes and stuff, you'd always hear it, Ephesians 5:18, right? The connotation behind that verse is being continually filled with the Holy Spirit again and again and again. And it's not in search of an experience. It's in search for closeness with Him. It's not just having the experience of a good church service, because you know you do a lot of battles in church services, right, where you're dancing and shouting. I'm all about that. But at the same time, when you're in the car and you're trying to believe for something else, you know, you don't have the organ playing, you don't have the kick beat going, but the Holy Spirit is still there, right? And the Holy Spirit can still move in a miraculous way, and you're in the car as if you were in a church filled with people singing and praising. Because what I like is when you read Revelations, it says that what is sung here is replicated in heaven. So you technically are inspiring all of heaven to sing what you're singing in the car. So you literally are having a great church experience when you're in the car as you're being led with the Holy Spirit. And then the angels start replicating what you're saying. And then the multitudes start replicating what you're saying. And you know, the witnesses and everyone and the weird angels and everyone, they're all replicating what is happening at that moment of inflection in your life, where you decide, instead of praying out problems, you pray in the presence. Right? When you decide that instead of just praying out the circumstances, you want Him to come in and change your life forever, again and again and again. As you read through, as you notice throughout the Bible, well, whatever God's hand is on, it automatically converts into something else. Like a little pebble, but with God's hand on it, you know, is a giant killer, right? Like a voice, but with his hand on it, it is like a wall breaker, right? Like an old, really weird guy who's half naked, when his spirit is on that guy, he runs faster than horses. And like a cloak that probably smells because there's no tide back then, right? But with the Holy Spirit upon that cloak can break up a river, right? Like all these things, it's like, as long as the Holy Spirit is present, it doesn't matter what the vessel is, God can take whatever vessel and push through and do what he's purposed to do. So let me challenge you today, as we leave, as we come back tonight, right? And as we go throughout our days and days to come, let us be filled and continually filled with the Holy Spirit again and again. And when you encounter problems, go and encounter him, right? And then bring him to the situation. I remember most of my fights in school were because of my brothers, because they knew that I would back him up, right? And so I was never really a fighter, but my brothers knew that I would fight for them. And so they knew, like, they had a revelation that as long as I was around, they could fight and I would finish, right? Like all the time. And like I would find myself like in these fights and be like, why are we even fighting? I was like, but it's my brothers all the time. Like to this day, Carolina, it irritates her because my brothers know. Oh, like I will always go and like fight for my brothers, right? But let's extrapolate that and make it like conclude and make it good. And let us realize, let us have that same revelation that my brothers had, that you know it's not a fight. Life is not a fight that you should fight alone, right? But life is a fight that you get to fight with him, and you get to literally see, like, you might start it, but he can finish it, and he will finish everything. And no matter what it is you have, what the vessel is, as long as the Holy Spirit is there. So let us yield to the Spirit. Let us be filled with the Spirit day in and day out. Be about the miracle worker, right? And see his working miracles in your life. Father God, we just thank you for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity that you have given us, Father, to come into your word, to learn about your word. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit reminds us of these things and speaks a word directly to us that is relevant, that we can apply to each and every one of our lives, Father. I pray that as we go out, that we might encounter you, Father, that we might have that service constantly, consistently with you, Father, that we might be passionate about your presence, Father. Father, that we might not pray to remove the problem, but that we might start praying so that we can see your presence, Father, constantly. Fill us with more boldness to continue to fulfill what you have called us to do, Father. Father, connect us with who you want to connect us. Give us what you have prepared for us. But overall, Father, be present in our lives. Be real in our lives. We consider everything else garbage compared to the knowledge of knowing you and the power of your resurrection, Father. May that be real in our lives. And Father, that in all we do and all we say and all we think, Father, that it may all bring glory to you. We want to see you, Father, constantly. We want to know you, Father. And may that be real in our lives today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
What a powerful message, right? The only difference between Peter being afraid of a little girl in one instance and then having the boldness to preach in front of thousands in another is being filled with the Spirit. Ooh, what a powerful truth, man. Next week, Pastor William Gibbons, the pastor of the church where we had this conference, is bringing the word. You do not want to miss it. It's going to be dynamic. It's going to be challenging. You'll love every minute of it. My name is Elijah Merle, and until next week, remember this: greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.